It's the Daily Gopher Football Podcast back for 2012. JD, I felt like they missed us.
Yeah, well, I missed us we quit doing this halfway through the season last year.
For quite a while. Kind of a shameful quitting. But we're back for the long haul this year.
We're in for it. Unless this year is like last year, then probably just turn the podcast over to Drano drinking and whiskey drinking.
If it's going to be anything like last year, that means it's another loss to a 1AA school and wins over Iowa and Illinois. So we got that going
for us.
Here's to that. I am Jeff Verkey, is J.D. Mill. We are back for another year. We're the longest-running podcast in the Gopher blogosphere. Not necessarily the best, but we're going to hang on to that title as long as we can.
That's true.
I figure we get a few of these in here at least, and that at least keeps the streak alive, right?
That's right.
Got to do something for
little preseason podcast action.
Yes.
And you have been to a practice. I have not made it.
Yeah, GN and I, our head writer, went to the first one. So we got a bit of a taste for it. Got to see the team. We're now just finished 2 full weeks of practice. Coach Kill scaling back the public practice, just doing the first week in a scrimmage. The rest of it will be behind closed door. We were actually just watching the Big Ten Network Gopher preview hour-long D-Loom and Bob thing there. So
yep.
they get access. I'm sure we'll get the same at some point.
Unlikely.
Probably very unlikely at that point. But So here we are. We're, what, 2 weeks away from the season?
2 weeks away. 2 weeks from tonight, we will be celebrating a Gopher victory, I believe.
I'd like to say so.
In the desert, from the desert.
I'd like to say so. Gophers in here's the thing. We'll go over some gopherness. We'll preview some things, maybe some offense, maybe some defense, maybe a little both. We'll talk some previews, some predictions, all that good stuff. We'll have predictions and all that stuff coming up in the next couple weeks in the sites, as well here, but we're going to open it up, you know?
That's right.
We've opened up a brew. We're going to open up a vein and just, let all the maroon and gold spill out, and we're going to get this done here.
I agree. I think it sounds fantastic.
So I am not, what I would call, a television or marketing genius. You yourself are probably more in that line. So I'm going to ask you this and just help me with this one here. So the Gophers originally scheduled to play University of Nevada, Las Vegas, in Las Vegas on a Saturday. I'm guessing Saturday night, since it's like 1,000 degrees there in the end of August, early September.
Mm-hmm.
Likely a Big Ten Network game, I would have thought.
Quite possible.
So even if it's, you know, an 8 o'clock, a 9 o'clock, a 10 o'clock start in Minnesota, it's a Saturday night. You got to think most of your fan base can see it. A lot of your fan base, perhaps the two of us and wives, mm-hmm. would have been at the game had it been a Saturday night game. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. your television viewing would have been fine. So you decide to move it to a Thursday, I assume, to try and get a bigger TV audience. The thing that I can't quite understand is, though, it's a 10 o'clock start in Minnesota on a Thursday night, and isn't it on, like, the CBS whatever some network thing?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the network is. I mean, as far as I understand it, UNLV has rights to the TV and when the actual game is played and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I guess they're starting at 9 p.m. locally for them. I'm assuming it's going to be probably part of a doubleheader type situation on the network it's on.
I just think it's bunk. If it was a Minnesota decision to push it back, it doesn't make much sense. If it was a Vegas decision, then it's out of their hands. But
it definitely
just like
was not a Gopher decision.
Yeah, to start on a Thursday night is a little rough, but you know what? We're going to be there. We're going to support them. We're happy about it.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we can scale back from there.
It's well past my bedtime, though. A 10 o'clock kickoff.
Are you serious?
Thursday.
I've probably been in bed for an hour at that point on a usual weeknight. Are you kidding me? I'm not young and spry like I used to be anymore.
We're going to have to probably take Friday off anyway.
Just to be able to even be, anywhere close to be ready to watch that. I mean, think about it. By halftime, it could be like Friday morning by then. I mean, it's
very possible.
Yeah, it's out of control, but we're going to get it. Basically, folks, you have 2 weeks to get yourself mentally and emotionally prepared.
Yep. Rest up.
For a Thursday
start
night.
Start hydrating.
Yeah. Hydration is always important. Because remember, if you're thirsty, it's too late. It means you're not hydrated.
That's true.
Yeah.
It is true.
So we're season two of the Jerry Kill era. Just watching the Big Ten Network guys, they noticed just how much kind of physically bigger and better the Gopher team looks out of the box. GN and I also noticed that standing at practice, and you see it noted as the guys as well. It seems like that from year one to year two bounce is certainly looking, at least, like it's kicked in.
Yeah, it's. I mean, obviously, Kill and his coaching staff have put a big emphasis on the off-season conditioning and strength and conditioning program. You know, they only had a limited amount of time last year to do that. They had an entire off-season to work with after having the kids actually in place on the field, so certainly gives them a leg up to have that. I mean, I think the most impressive thing that I've heard is you've got linemen that have put on 15 to 20 pounds of muscle per lineman. I mean, that's huge. If those guys can continue to have quick feet and have that kind of size, that's going to speak volumes and really, I mean, that's got to translate into the running game, I would think.
Yeah, line looks better. They're certainly solidified in a lot of spots. Obviously, I'm not going to say tragic news, sad news, disappointing, whatever you want to call it, with Jimmy Jerry saying he's going to hang him up. I don't know if a college kid can exactly retire, right. But sounds like making the best decision for everybody involved. Just could not get over the concussion issues and decided to be better to just walk away now. Right. He'll keep the scholarship, which I think is cool. So he'll get to finish his degree out here really as a member of the team without getting to participate. But sad news, but I mean, it's one of those things with football, and sounds like for him and for everybody else, kind of the best decision involved.
Yeah, and it sounds like the coaching staff was prepared for it. Mm-hmm. There was at least, I mean, obviously you've got, a recovery that takes a long time for a young kid. That's huge red flags. And they obviously knew that there could be some potential long-term impact. It's a offensive line that looks like it's got some depth to it. They're pretty young, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, definitely that was sad news, and glad that he's going to be able to finish out his education and have a productive life without hopefully having any issues from concussions.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have a redshirt sophomore with some starting games under his belt, but that's the way it goes. So you're left with Josh Campion and Foster Bush, or Bush.
Bush.
It's always nice.
Don't you actually think it's probably hockey that is the culprit for his concussions? Because wasn't he a big high school hockey player, too?
I have no idea.
I blame hockey.
See, yeah, I feel like you're always quick to go in that direction. I feel like you do. I think
much like I generally blame Canada for
And that's expected. It's the metric system. It's socialism. Right. It's socialized medicine. Right. It's Molson. I mean, there's all kinds of things to blame them for.
Molson makes up for a lot of delicious things that I would like to blame Canada
for. But it's hard to make up for the rest of it.
True.
But I mean, the rest of the line looks fairly solid. I mean, you get the Olsen boys on the left side, and I think a decent center guard tandem. You've got guys. You know, last year was hard because it was so bad in a lot of spots, and obviously a lot of injuries in the line. But because of that, you get so many guys back. You're almost too deep with guys that have experience in starting a game or having at least some playing time on the line, which is something we haven't been able to say since really the Mason era.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think that you can really understate how badly the offensive line specifically was depleted during the Brewster era. And to see that position be built back up, I think one of the things that Kill always talks about that I really like is having a workman-like team that represents the type of people that are in the state of Minnesota, and that really starts with the line. I mean, that position for the Gophers is absolutely full of Minnesota kids, and you've got a lot of talent there. They are young, but they continue to recruit well at that position. And, I mean, I think that that's a position that you can have as a strength. You should have as a strength in Minnesota year in and year out. I mean, you've got the Persig kid who's coming in.
Yeah.
You'll continue to have big offensive linemen from the state.
Don't forget about Shaft. That's, two Minnesota. And that's the thing. I mean, four-fifths of your starting lineup, even with Jerry out, since Josh Campion's going to be the starter now at right tackle, it looks like. That's, that's Minnesota kids. And you get Persig and Hayes coming up. They're probably, I'm guessing, if all goes as planned, we'll redshirt this year, get on the Eric Klein strength and conditioning and eating program, and be better prepared. And Persig, by the way, is a big kid. Holy cow. Yeah. I mean, I know he's 6'9 and whatever, but I mean, you see him. He looks like he belongs right now. Like, he does not look like an 18-year-old kid.
Well, it's good that we've got enough depth at that position now that he can redshirt.
Yeah.
And he can take a year to build up strength and to build up his body and learn the system and learn from some of those older guys because, I mean, he's going to be one of the anchors of our line for a few years to come.
Well, and I think that's a big part of it, too. You know, our rivals, those bastards in Iowa and dirty Wisconsinites and everything else, I mean, they...
Worst state ever.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, North Dakota's up there, too, with Grand Forks and UND hockey.
Okay.
See? I'll give you that. Wrong with that? Easy. All right. But they get their good line recruits, but the idea is you don't want to be playing these kids right out of high school. You don't ideally want to play them as a redshirt freshman, either. You want to give them a few years to get bigger and stronger and learn your system, and they're ready to go later in their career. And that just hasn't been an option to this point. You know, a lot of these kids, especially on the Minnesota line right now, have just been thrown into it because they can, and they're better for it. But I think we're starting to see, even, you know, with highly recruited kids, you know, not just in Minnesota, but, you know, around the Midwest, nationwide, Persig and Hayes were well sought after, but they're not going to play because they don't have to and because they shouldn't, and they're going to get the proper time that they need to develop.
Right, absolutely. And you know, hopefully as Kill and his staff get a few more years of recruiting, or a couple years down the road in recruiting, you'll be able to say that about other positions too. You know, most glaringly, I think, is you've got the wide receiver position, and you've got two great recruits coming in Harbison and McDonald, but those guys are going to have to play as freshmen, I think. I mean, you know, you'd love to be able to redshirt a couple guys like that. Both of them seem to have the skill set and the hands and the speed and the bodies to be able to play at the Big Ten level now, but you know, you wouldn't necessarily have to feel that way if you could redshirt them. We just probably don't have the option, and you know, hopefully a few years down the road we'll get back to a point where you've got some super talented kids coming in like that, but you can give them a year to develop.
Yeah, it's something where you don't want to force the kids in and doing better for it, but a lot of times, too, it's the skill positions. It's like, if you're good, you're going to play, and right. I think with them right now, it's kind of the double-edged sword with that, where you need them to play, but McDonald looks the part. I mean, both of them do, too. I mean, Harbison, Gian and I said, you know, just looking at the kid, like, he looks like a running back. He's built like a running back, but he's a receiver. Yeah. But then he gets out and runs route and catches and has good hands and does everything else just like a receiver. I can see why Coach Kill was intrigued with him and why he was a pretty highly sought-after kid. I mean, he looks like the full package. It's going to be a nice slot option along with Marcus Jones. But, I mean, my God, McDonald just looks he looks like a, you know, like a redshirt junior or senior receiver. He just does. He fits in well. He's smooth. He's fluid. And he's 6'2", and he looks, you know, at least 200, 210 pounds.
Yeah, which is awesome. I mean, it's fantastic that we've got – I mean, and you've got a lot of new faces – in the wide receiver core. I mean, you've got Frechte. I'm trying to think of his first name right now.
Isaac
Frechte, yeah, sorry. That, you know, coming in, sounds like he's really fast, great hands, impressing everybody.
It's pretty,
you know,
white,
he's a new face. Well, that's okay. He's a gopher receiver. We've got a good
Minnesotan at that.
Exactly. A good, strong Southeast Minnesota kid from a good program in Caledonia. And 3 years of eligibility, I believe he still has.
Yeah, that's he's in as a sophomore, which is nice. Yep. So,
I mean, you know, you've got a lot of new faces in the receiving core that, you know, hopefully Gray is able to find one or two of those guys to be favorite targets and really get some production so he doesn't have to scramble and run as much as he did in the past. And the offensive line obviously is going to play a huge role in that too. They have to.
Yeah, we just saw on the Big Ten Network preview, Coach Limegrover talking about, you know, not being the one-man band, which Gray had to be last year, which, you know, a great year for him, certainly running the ball almost 1,000 yards and, you know, yards in the ground and everything, and a lot of improvement passing. But part of that is just going to be, the offensive line giving him more time. The running backs, hopefully somebody stepping up in the backfield to be more of a threat, so they'll take that seriously. And then just the receivers helping him out. I mean, you wish you could have got one more year out of Dejon McKnight to just have just that anchor in the receiving core. Because that's kind of the... it's the one thing they're missing. I think there's a lot of potential, a lot of ability in the receivers we've got. You know, we mentioned the freshman. I think Devin Crawford Tufts obviously has a lot of ability, a tall kid with good wheels. We mentioned Frepti. You know, is good as well. Moulton, I'm not the highest on, probably because he just dropped so many damn passes last year, but maybe that's out of the system. You know, Marcus Jones is good, but you just, you don't have that guy where you can say, okay, it's third and six and we need a first down and I can go to him and people can build around him. Now, maybe Brandon Green finally becomes that guy. It's year six of hoping that happens. And I think he's got a starting spot locked up and we'll see. But that's, you know, that's the guy. That's the guy they need, which would take some pressure off of all these young kids because it's really just freshmen and sophomores other than him.
Well, I think chances are the receiving core and the running back group are going to be similar. I think in the sense of if they end up being a productive group, it's going to be as a group, not as individuals. I mean, I don't think it's out of the question to say that it's very possible that we won't have a 1,000-yard rusher at running back, and we may not have a 1,000-yard receiver at wide receiver, but we may have two or three guys at those positions that put up 600-700 yards for the season, and as a group, they're productive and they have change of pace, and you can keep defenses off balance. But I don't think either one of those groups is probably going to have a guy that really separates himself from the pack, like from the pack, like a Eric Decker did or Dijon McKnight did.
Rolling along on the pod, the baby Jesus is up.
He is. And there's nobody on and nobody out, so he'll probably hit a home run.
Yeah, if there were runners on, it'd be ground out to second. Whoa. So,
he did get a base hit.
This is exciting for the listeners because they'll probably hear this like 3 days from now after the game happened. It's Twins Mariners top of the sixth. We've got that going on here as we continue perusing the topic of Golden Gopher football. And it's one to talk about at this time of the year.
It is. It absolutely is. I'm to the point now where it's so close, yet so far away, I cannot actually wait for the games.
So, believe it or not, GN reached out to the fine folks at Surly to see if we can get a sponsorship, and they haven't. It's worth a shot, right?
I did not know that.
It's worth a shot. Wow. We weren't even asking for much. We're like, we'll just take, you know, a six-pack each or four-pack. For you, probably just like they could have bought you a six-pack of Miller Lite, and that would have taken care of you.
That's good for me. Yeah.
But no, surprisingly, we did not. We were hoping for a Surly sponsorship, probably like most other people who do anything. But
I'm sure they don't get asked for sponsorships ever.
Yeah, no, it's not like it's great beer or anything, but... Oh, Coffee Bender would be so good. It's not the right season for it, though. No, not yet, though. It's not. It is the right season for Gopher football. A couple weeks away here from kickoff against the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Nice segue.
You like that?
That was nice.
Yeah, we're not. We are still in just preseason so podcasting smooth. Form, but for that one, so I smooth. Thought, you know, that's
your radio background coming
that's,
through.
That's like the middle of the season conference schedule kind of podcasting ability right there.
Good work.
Something. I don't even know.
Good work.
Talked a bit about the offense. Defensively, it's something that I think the Gophers always look at as, okay, how's the defense going to be this year? Basically, how bad is it going to be? Are we going to be even close to average? Because that's about what we hope for here for the way it's been. Tracy Clays has eventually built a great defense wherever he's been. You know, he's the guy who seems to do the right things. Obviously, he was starting with, I think for me, probably last year, that was the biggest shot. It's just how bad the defense was despite having Clays there. But I think it shows, one, what happens when a defense gets Cosgroved, which we talked about earlier in the week on the website. Is that it's hard to recover from a Cosgrove's defense. You've pretty much got to start from scratch, which he did. But this year, again, you've got a lot of experienced guys back. Losing Kim Royston hurts, of course, as your leading tackler, but you've got a lot of other pieces in place there. Mm-hmm. Rashid Hageman, I haven't brought him much up much on the website yet because it's just... I'm still trying to form, like, a rational opinion, if that makes sense. Right. Because it's like, he looks like an NFL defensive tackle. He really, really does. And I know other people have said that, but I mean, GN and I were sitting there, and we were just like, holy shit, like, he is, seriously, he looks like an NFL defensive tackle, and not fat, like, just big, like, massive, like, carved out of granite, like, chiseled kind of guy.
Well, and he's the kind of guy that it seems like the Gophers always have a guy who you've been talking about for 3-4 years, that this is going to be the year, and he's going to finally break out. I mean, obviously, his physical stature and his physical tools are amazing, but it sounds like he actually maybe has started to grow into a defensive lineman.
I was going to ask you, and I'm going to plan on posting something about this week, but I mean, I ask you because, of course, you're a great Gopher football mind and probably more of a historian than I am, but defensive line is something that the Gophers have never been especially great at. I know the Coach Clay's, I think, in an interview with Marcus Fuller earlier in the summer, was talking about, you know, just obviously what a difference a defensive line makes, that he thinks that's the difference. You know, why the SEC has been so dominant lately is because pretty much they trot out NFL defensive lines, right, and that makes the difference. And it's just something the Gophers have not ever really had a great line. You get, you know, a Van de Stieg who gets double-digit stacks, or like a Caron Riley back in the day. Mm-hmm. But there's usually not a lot to be super excited about on the line. I mean, like, can you think of a good Gopher defensive tackle, somebody who's in the running for all conference, like in the Brewster years, the Mason years? No, I mean, go back. It just doesn't seem to happen here.
No, and that's, you know, that was always one of the big knocks on Mason, was that he didn't recruit defense very well. Defensive line has always been an issue. I mean, you know, the number of sacks and you know, typically you're seeing, you know, the leading tacklers on the team are in the linebacking core, the secondary. I mean, you go all the way back to Tyrone Carter days and things like that. I mean, it's always been like that with the Gophers. So, I mean, that would be something that, you know, that's been one of the areas that has always, I think, in the last couple of decades, made it difficult for the Gophers to compete in the Big Ten, is because, you know, it is a 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of league, but against the Gophers, it's more like 6 yards in a cloud of dust, because we've just never really been able to stop anybody up front.
Well, and I mean, especially on the interior of the defensive line, to have that guy who can get the push against the run and, you know, cause problems if you want to run up the middle, and obviously, you can pressure the quarterback from a side, you can do it from the back if you're coming around, but if you get pressure right up the middle in his face, it makes it so much harder, and they haven't had that guy. So I think just the potential of Rashid maybe being one of those guys who opposing offensive coordinators are like, oh, we got to plan for this guy. Like, this is, you know, it's not someone who we're just going to send the guard to the center at and take care of him. Like, it might take two guys to do it. To me, it's exciting. But again, I've been hesitant to say anything about it because it's like, could we really have one of these? Could we actually have an impact defensive tackle?
And Clay's his defense really is predicated on being able to get pressure and cause havoc behind the line of scrimmage and do it with 3 or 4 guys. I mean, he's a blitz guy, but typically he's not sending the house. You know, he's doing some stunts. FBT had a great breakdown of the fire zone blitz.
He usually
the whole defense is predicated on getting pressure on the quarterback. And yeah, I mean, if they have finally been able to grow Hageman into that type of guy who can just cause problems, you know, he doesn't have to get to the quarterback every time, but if you can rush the quarterback, if you can get back there and cause problems, make him throw off balance, have to move, you know, get it to the point where, you know, you've got your secondary and your linebackers are able to make some plays because things are just wonky for the quarterback, I mean, that's a huge plus. And that's something that's going to have to be developed if Clay's defense is going to take effect here. You know, I still think the defense is probably going to struggle this year because, you know, outside of Hageman, yeah, we've got some other guys that can start to do that. But, you know, they're still learning the schemes. There's still a ways to go. But yeah, I mean, you certainly think that a guy like Hageman fits into that game plan pretty well.
And it's just, as you know, anybody will tell you, your defensive line is getting pressure and wreaking havoc. It makes the guys behind them that much better. But I mean, I honestly think Hageman's the key guy for how this defense does this year. If he is able to be the force that he looks like he could be, and again, and I love the Bane face mask that we had on the website earlier. And I mean, it's I know FPP is the Optimus Prime nickname for him. I kind of like Bane for, you know, with the mask and everything else. But I mean, if he can be that just human wrecking ball and the guy who's going to wreak havoc and cause problems, that does just amazing things for the rest of the team, and just makes them that much better. Because really, you know, you look at past defenses, you look at what we've had, they're playing without that aid of having a defensive line that's causing issues, that's getting pressure, that's getting into the backfield. So, you know, your secondary, your linebackers are having to make plays without that. I mean, my God, if Hageman can be that guy, it just makes everybody else's job on defense that much easier and makes them that much better.
Well, in the preview that we were watching, obviously it's, you know, happened a couple weeks ago, but Stoudemire, was talking about the biggest difference between the team the last couple years and this year is just the speed. And that's really where the speed comes into play, is you've got guys that can get into the backfield and cause that trouble. The guys in the secondary then can use their legs to make life more difficult for those receivers and running backs downfield. It all feeds on itself, but again, Clay's defense is so predicated on being able to have I don't want to say a minimal number, but, you know, he's not sending 6-7 guys after the quarterback. He's going to try to send 3-4, maybe sometimes 5 guys to cause problems. And in order for that to be the case, those guys have to be big, they have to be quick, they have to have good technique, and hopefully Hageman is really turning into that guy.
So J.D. Mill and I are sitting here trying to figure out who half of this Twins roster is. Robertson is pitching? Are we supposed to know that? The shortstop I've never
heard of.
Is
that even a guy?
I don't know. Apparently it is. It's Twins baseball in August. What do you do?
Did they replace the whole team with the Rochester?
Well, you got to maybe it was call-up night. Maybe it was, hey, let's bring up the AAA lineup night. At least Maurer and Mornozzi are there, but they haven't done much. They're losing to a terrible Mariners
So team. Here's a question. Yeah, no, like, please. This is just random, and I know this
break
is...
Let's break it down. What do we got?
But are beards almost becoming too pervasive in baseball? Like, everybody in baseball has a beard.
And
I mean, this guy has a beard. No sideburns.
Which kind of, how are you on the no sideburns because I shaved my head kind of thing, like with just the beard going? I'm not sure how to, that's a tougher one to pull off, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to shave your head.
That guy's pulling off a mustache right there. Hello, sir. Man,
I feel like if you're going to shave your head and not shave your face, like, I mean, I hope you shave your ass too, because I mean, that your grooming is just bass ackwards, as far as I'm concerned.
You've got a few things going wrong, that's for sure. It's, you know what, it's another good reason why football season's coming, because the Twins are unwatchable at this point.
Yeah.
And because we don't even know half the team.
You know, and here's another thing. Like, I played football, but I never played football when I was physically able to grow a beard. Mm-hmm. But you see these football players that have the beards.
Matt Khalil,
yeah. And they've got the helmet and obviously the chin strap.
Don't you
think that would just bug the crap out of you?
I think that would itch like a mofo.
Like, don't you just assume that you get all sweat on your chin? Don't you just assume that underneath that beard and the goatee area is just like solid pimples? Like just a ton of pimples and ingrown hairs.
It's hard to pick up chicks when you got that going, I gotta think. When you're out in Dinkytown with that going on, that can't be good.
But you're also a millionaire NFL player. Oh, see, so you're probably doing okay for yourself.
I suppose.
But I'm just saying, like, I just feel like that would be very uncomfortable.
I agree.
Well, at least we've transitioned from baseball to football.
Yeah, that was...
Should
that
we
was...
now transition to Gopher football?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is why we...
Hey, there's my segue for the night.
This is why we do the preseason podcast.
I'll take the rest of the night off. And with that, thank you very much.
Jeremo has the natural blonde going.
Yes.
The Miller Lite.
You know, I used to be, like, apologetic about liking Miller Lite. I used to be like...
At this point in your life, there's no point.
You know, it's just a beer that I like to have around. You know what? I like it. It's refreshing. And I don't mind telling you, I've had about a sixer since we've been sitting here.
I gotta say, I've never known you were even ashamed to be a Miller Lite drinker. It's all I've ever known you to be.
Well, I'm usually not, a super public about it, but... You know, and actually, this is another great segue.
This podcast is going out to, like, tens of people. It's going to be public now.
All tens of these people are going to know that I'm unapologetic.
And I might even be stretching it to say tens of people.
I'm turning over a new leaf this year because I am openly telling all tens of our fans that I am a Miller Lite drinker.
Yeah.
And I also, I don't know if you read my closing arguments post on Off Tackle Empire.
You know what, believe it or not, I linked to that today
Oh, you wrote Nugs today?
Yeah.
I didn't read it. No, I don't, you know, whenever
no,
you
no,
read
No one else did either, don't worry about it.
I read your hockey stuff, but your football stuff, I pretty much ignore. But anyways.
Do it everyone else.
I've decided that I don't care. I'm going to be a little bit defiant. You know, in the past, I've kind of pussyfooted around, like, I think they're going to be okay, and I seriously, like, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of acting like I'm not sure what they're going to do.
But listen, if I can say it. Here's the thing. Here.
Please do.
We used to get on Glenn Mason for the, there's a Glenn Mason school of scheduling for how to get your team to a bowl game with four crappy non-conference game and finding two wins in the conference. You know what? I'm all for that this year.
I'm glad that you said that we used to get on Glenn Mason.
I'm all for it.
Nobody gets on Glenn Mason but his wife.
Mace? Anyway. What about good
That's
old Mace?
Awful. At this point, if anybody's listening, they've probably already turned it off, so they didn't hear that.
How upset do you think GN is going to be about the quality of the product?
He does not listen to this.
Yeah, he's definitely turned
he
it off.
Definitely
by this
does
point.
Not listen.
There's no way. I don't think his wife lets him listen at this point. So, how many years have we done this? And he said he's going to come on the podcast. And we're still waiting for him to come on.
Geez.
I don't think this is going to be the year either. But maybe we'll be wrong.
I bet we'll get the new guy on before we get GN.
Dude, new guy is on for sure. Guaranteed. We like the new guy.
Yeah.
New guy's good.
He is good.
GN, forget about
it. He's
not coming on.
The new guy's better, way better than I am. He's way better than me.
I wasn't going to say anything, but you brought it up.
But
so.
Seriously, he's better than you, too.
He's good. I like the new guy.
And he's better than the three guys that are listed as writers on the site that haven't written in a long time.
Yeah, what happened to everybody else?
Anyways, should we talk about...
We should probably bring it back around to the team here for the... We promise this will be the last segment of people being like, oh my God, how long is this going on? Don't worry, it's ending here soon. Kind of like the Twins are. Ryan Domet goes down swinging. God, they're brutal. Again, another good thing, it's Gopher football season. I don't think it's outlandish to say this is a bowl possibility team. Like, all four of your non-conference games should be winnable. Certainly Vegas to start, New Hampshire. Western Michigan, you know, watch out for them.
Right.
And I know we've been bitten by that before, saying, psh, we'll beat South Dakota State. Oh, North Dakota State, we'll take care of them. New Mexico State, of course we'll beat them.
And then it's
just been awful. So I understand people might be a little apprehensive to start saying, you know, to stand up and say, you know what, I'm a Minnesota Gopher fan, and I'm confident we can beat a crappy Division I opponent in the non-conference schedule.
No, listen, I mean, I'm not...
I feel like this is the year we're going to get back to saying we can beat 1AA schools and we can beat MAC opponents.
I'm not going to say that this is a 9 or 10 win team. I'm not going to say we're going to win our... Are we legends? Are we leaders?
We're the West Division. I still refuse to use the names. It's West and East, and Wisconsin is just misplaced.
I've ever heard in my life.
I refuse until
honestly,
they change it.
I cannot believe that.
See, who is that guy? Carson? Who the hell is Matt Carson?
Seriously, the Big Ten hired monkeys to come up with the names. They would have come up with something better. They would have come up with, like, the throwing feces division and the banana division, and it would have been better than the legends and the leaders.
Best one I've heard for that was Ted Glover from Off Top of the Umpire saying he remembers it's Michigan's in the legends division because they're legends in their own mind. I like that one. That was pretty good.
Well, by that rationale, Notre Dame should be in the Legends division as well.
So, and then the second best one I've heard was the Nebraska. I think it's Husker Corn Nation has said they're going to spell Pelini with four L's until he loses lessons four games a year.
Wow.
I like that one, too.
Wow.
There's some good ones. See, but we have no reason to have such hostility towards Jerry Kill because he's here and right. We love him and he's getting the program in the right direction.
Yeah. And so back to what I was saying before I had
coming back around
before the booze brain hit me.
Right.
I, you know, 9 or 10 win team, no. But listen, this team's gonna be better than they were last year. The schedule's, you know, when it comes to the Big Ten schedule, it's not great. I mean, it's not like we play our tough games at home and our easier games on the road like we did last year. It's still a pretty tough schedule, but I mean, I think this is a 6-win team. I really do.
Do you know who's nervous? I was nervous.
Yeah, I was
nervous.
Actually,
I was nervous.
Somebody
to the opener.
Some commenter on Off Tackle Empire for the closing arguments said that he thinks Minnesota's going to beat Nebraska this year.
That's not going to happen.
Because Nebraska loses a game to a team like Minnesota every year.
Yeah, but there's a difference between losing to a team like Minnesota and losing to Minnesota. We haven't beaten Nebraska like 30-something years, literally. Although they do have arm punt for the quarterback. He's fun.
All right, yeah.
That guy's so overrated. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. How can Nebraska not find a better quarterback than Taylor Martinez? How?
But there's 6 wins in this team, right?
Yeah, well, so the first 3 non-conference games should, and this is the other thing, too, is I feel like there's no in-between. They're either going to win 6 games or they're going to win 2, because if they can't win at least the first 3 games in the non-conference,
UNLV
is not very good, New Hampshire is a 1AA school, and Western Michigan's not very good, and they should beat Syracuse.
Western Michigan makes me more nervous than Syracuse
does.
Come
on.
Just because
listen,
being that Jerry Kill's got some Mac experience.
I was almost going to say the Return of the Mac and then start doing Craig Mac. Wait, who sings Return of the Mac? Dang it, I should know this. This is classic 90s.
This is where it'd be awesome if it was live radio and we could have call-ins.
Yeah.
But seriously, Maction. Western Michigan's not. I mean,
fine.
That game makes me more nervous than Syracuse. But in any case,
I am going to stand up and say loud and proud. I'm a Gopher fan, and I believe we can beat Western Michigan.
I absolutely do too.
That's
what
I'm
saying. You're saying this is a 6-win team or a 2-win team?
Because you're 6 wins, you should be able to win at least 3 of your non-conference games, at least. And I think, and then we look at, then you have Syracuse at Iowa, home Northwestern, and then 2 weeks after you play Wisconsin. We're not beating Wisconsin in Wisconsin, but then you get Purdue after that, and you still got Illinois coming up on the schedule.
But why
can't we
beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin?
Not this year. Loaded for bear, the Badgers are.
They're going to win their division even if they're loaded for
Because Ohio State's not
which
eligible.
They are.
God, the rest of that division is awful.
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 Everybody's awful.
I mean, I feel bad for what's going on at Penn State, but that is a terrible
football
team.
And listen, thank goodness the Big Ten aligned the divisions for competitiveness and not by geography.
Yeah, God forbid we do geographic and then actually have
now,
properly aligned divisions.
Yeah, now it so makes sense.
God.
But anyways, I don't know if I think that they win 6 or they win 2. I understand what you're saying.
I just feel like there's at least 3 wins to be had in the non-conference, and if they don't get at least 3 out of that, then you're not finding 3 or 4 in the conference schedule to make up for it.
The basement for this team is 5. And that's probably even, maybe that's generous, but I can't look at this team, the talent that's there, the coaching staff that we have in place, and think that they're not going to figure out a way to win 5 games. And again, maybe they win 3 or 4 of the non-con, and they have to find 1 win in the Big Ten schedule. I tend to think that the coaching staff and the talent that we have are going to probably win a game that we're not supposed to win. We're going to lose a game that we are supposed to win.
Iowa.
And Wisconsin, Nebraska. I don't know. But seriously, like, I think...
There is no... We somehow got to get from the schedule gods that we don't play Ohio State till like, 2021 or something.
I just think this team is going to be better than people think. And here's what blows me away. Like, the Illinois closing argument went up on Off Tackle Empire today. Yeah. This entire staff at Off Tackle Empire of 12 writers came up with a combined schedule, or excuse me, a combined record for the Gophers of 5-7. Illinois, who has a brand new coach, just came out of the Ron Zook era, who's an amazing barefoot water skier, by Zucker. The way.
Oh, he's incredible.
The Zucker.
Incredible.
Come up with 6-6 for this team.
I hate to break it to you. Off Tackle Empire came up with 4-8 for the Gophers. It's even worse than that.
I hate you.
It's Anyways, even worse than that. I'm
shocked that
your point is valid.
As much your fun as we valid. Make, and seriously, I know this is a Dated Gopher podcast, but I'm just going to tell you right now.
Please.
The email strings for Off Tackle Empire, especially as it relates to Illinois and Notre Dame, are absolutely epic.
What?
And so I can't believe that that group of people still thinks that Illinois is going to be better than Minnesota.
Yeah,
part of it comes down to the schedule.
Well, and people are saying, well, Illinois's got talent there. You know, the Zucker at least recruited well. There's plenty there. And it's like, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Right. Maybe. And maybe, again, because that entire division is awful.
Very interesting that people, I guarantee you, if Ron Zook was still the coach, there wouldn't be a prediction of 6-6
It'd
for
like
that
two,
team.
2-10.
So, apparently,
how have the Gophers done against Illinois the past couple of years?
Yeah, I think pretty well.
I want to say they beat them twice, but
might have happened.
I want to say that's what happened.
I think
maybe
it did
not.
Happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, we are Gopher fans as well as bloggers. We're not exactly paid to be objective. Funny thing, we're not actually paid.
We're not actually paid at all.
Yeah, is how that works.
Or objective.
No, really, really neither of those things, and we do that quite well. It's at a point where I'm in agreement with you.
Ceiling?
I think, are we talking like completely ridiculous? I think realistic ceiling is 7.
I do too.
I mean, I think it's like between 5-7 wins is your basic.
I think 5-7, that's where my range is too. And I'm sure I've said this before. I think making a bowl game would be enormous for this team.
Absolutely.
Not just in the sense that that's a great improvement from year over year, but also in the sense that it gives you another month of practice. I think it shakes out to be something like 15 or 20 practices.
Yeah, but that's
big.
Well, and especially when, and gosh, this is the other thing G and I talked about, and I think you and I have as well, is that this team is so young. I mean, really, next year, they get pretty much everybody back except Gray. Thanks again, Tim Brewster, for not redshirting him. But, I mean, it's such a young team that, I think that extra 15 practices they can make a bowl game really helps them build for, you know, for 2013.
But you know what? I love Gray, and
I love Gray.
Wasn't a moron and didn't ruin that.
It's...
But Max Shortell is, I mean, the kid's good.
Yep.
I think he's, I mean, Philip Nelson and, you know, he's probably the quarterback, but I don't think I'm not sure if talk tonight.
No, you really can't.
Is it the booze?
No.
Do I have booze brain?
It can't be.
I'm not slurry. Am I slurry?
No, you're just not in mid-season podcast form yet. We are in preseason podcast form is what the problem is. Yeah, it's Shortell, by the way, has looked good in practices. For anything we've heard, I think he could be a very nice Big Ten quarterback, but nonetheless, I wish we had Q next year, but we don't. But bottom line, I think 5-7 is pretty accurate, and I think this team has a very good chance of going bowling. There's a lot of toss-up games on the schedule. I think, again, because we don't play Ohio State, that's one team that's out. Because Penn State is way down, that's another team. You know, it's really, I would say, like at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, home Michigan State are the four games that I would say we are very, very unlikely to win. But those other eight are some varying degrees of we've got a shot at when you're looking at Purdue, when you're looking at Illinois, you know, as we said, Syracuse, Northwestern, at Iowa. I God, I can't remember the last time they won at Kinnick, but this is not looking to be a great Iowa team. And Minnesota's had their numbers, so that one's not out of the question. I'm just, you can definitely find 6 or 7 wins on this schedule if things go right and this team plays right. Well. And I don't think that's an outlandish statement to make at this point.
Well, and obviously you have to be a, I mean, that comes from a homerism standpoint. You have to be a bit of a homer to be able to find
and 6 or 7.
Yeah, the homers we are here. I mean, absolutely. But I mean, you know, there's nothing about this team from an outside perspective that would make anybody think that they should be able to compete to win 7 games.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there's talent, and I think we're going to be better than anybody outside of the Twin Cities wants to believe.
I think so, and I hope so, and I'm looking forward to it. We got 2 weeks, and then it gets underway for reals.
I can't believe it.
For reals, Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Super, thanks again, Vegas, if they're responsible for it.
I'm super sad for the summer to be ending, but I can't wait for football.
I got to be honest, and I'm probably a terrible person. I'm not that sad. I am really excited. I'm excited for football season. Wow. I'm excited for Top Rank over hockey to get going. Like,
I think it is.
Can we get to October, please? Let's go. Let's get it going.
I think it's a foregone conclusion that you're a terrible person.
Yeah.
But
clearly,
I don't think that is what makes you a terrible person.
Well, see, that at least makes me feel better, and I appreciate that.
Kicking puppies.
Clubbing seals.
Clubbing baby seals.
That probably makes me a bad person, but
yeah,
it's been known to happen.
It's excessive.
Kind of.
I was going to talk to you about that.
That probably is probably a good place to end it. We've done 45 minutes of absolute and complete nonsense. But again, we're in preseason form, right? I mean,
but we're done recording this, let's do a 2-hour bloopers podcast.
Yes.
Of just us
outtakes
talking drunk about.
Will that sound any different than what we've done here?
Absolutely not.
Probably not. You're right.
It will sound different than the first 10 minutes. It won't sound different from the last 30 minutes.
Probably not. GN, we apologize for the quality of the first podcast. We'll try and do better on the next one. Yeah, you're right. And he's certainly not listening at this point.
No.
We'll be back next week. More preview as we get closer to the Vegas game. And then again, we'll be here every week. We're going to. Does Wednesday sound like a reasonable time to get this thing up normally during normal season?
Yeah.
Can we work on that? Wednesday-ish, Thursday, Tuesday. It'll be up once a week. That's
Fridays,
that's what we're going to give you.
Whatever.
Well, this one will be up Saturday, but whatever.
Right.
So that's what we've got coming up for you. So anyways, we appreciate the, we had tens of people to start with. We might have one person listening by the time this is done, and we appreciate that person's interest.
Right.
We will please try and do better for you next week and as the season goes. Continue to tune in, obviously. Look at the podcast, the website, all that good stuff. We will keep you well informed as we try to do at thedailygopher.com. For Jeff Rick, I am Jeremo. As always.
You're not Jeremo.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
See, again, damn preseason form. Come on!
We're
that close.
And with that,
I am Jeff Rick. He is Jeremo. Stay classy, and please go Gophers.
Skyuma.